Blog Talk Radio.
And praise the Lord, everybody. This is Apostle Dr. Deborah Deans with the End Time Men and Women of WAR Global Ministries, along with the Life Support Outreach Church and our prayer room ministry. And we're so glad this evening to be back on our radio broadcast for the study in the Word of God on today. I just give reverence to God, who is my life, and to Apostle Deans in his absence, and to all of you, my brothers and sisters in Christ in your respective places. I just thank and praise God on today for being back on our radio broadcast on today. I give God glory, hallelujah, and I give God praise on today. We're going to do things a little different today. We're going to be led by the Holy Spirit. We're going to study the Word of God, but we're going to study about the Ark of the Covenant that was in our last class, and we didn't get a chance to study like we should. So today's lesson will be on the Ark of the Covenant, but we're going to get ready to have a short devotion. We're going to have a scripture, a song, and a prayer, and then we're going to go into our study. Amen. Scripture reading will be coming from Psalm 68. Let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melted before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Sing unto God, sing praises to his name. Extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Jah, and rejoice before him. A father of the fatherless and a judge of the widow is God in his holy habitation. God sitteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those who are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. Our God, when thou wentest forth before thy people, when thou didst march through the wilderness, the earth shook. The heavens also dropped at the presence of God. Even Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God and the God of Israel. I have just read you from Psalm 68, from the first to the eighth verse. May God richly add a blessing to the doers of his most holy word on today. Amen. We're going to get ready for our song, and then we're going to go into prayer.
Thank you.
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come humbly before your throne of grace, asking you to forgive us for every known and unknown sin, God, that we've committed against you. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we come tonight, God, just confessing and repenting and asking for forgiveness and cleansing through the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on tonight. Father, we come tonight, God, first of all, asking you to bind up the strong man, Lord, from our lives. Father, we ask you to bind up the strong man from this radio broadcast. Every witch, every wizard, every warlock, every psychic, every demon. Father, we bind right now from this radio broadcast and from our lives. We bind them up and cast them out and command them to go in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just ask you tonight, in the name of Jesus, to loose peace on this radio broadcast. Loose peace in our lives at home, God. Loose love and joy and happiness on our radio broadcast and in our lives on today, God. In the name of Jesus, I ask you to let me decrease. Move me out of me. Out of myself, God. I surrender myself to you, God, in the name of Jesus, that you may teach and minister to us, in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you. I praise you. I ask it all in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen. Amen. And Praise the Lord, everybody. So we're going to get ready tonight for the Ark of the Covenant. And it starts over really in Exodus over there in 25, I think. But the papers that I sent you are going to explain a whole lot of things. And then after we study this on Tuesday, we're going to come right back. I got some more papers for you that I'm going to send to you on the, what's the name of this? Who changed the Sabbath day to Sunday? I want you all to know that for a fact. Amen. So this is, it says the background Bible study. It says the Ark of the Covenant, the ancient manners and customs, daily lives, cultures, and Bible lands. And so it says a quick overview of the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was a physical sign that God of all the earth was in Israel and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell in them. That's Exodus 25 and 8. God made a covenant with Israel and with all mankind that only by the shedding of the blood of Christ would there be forgiveness of sin. Abraham, the first Hebrew, knew this when God told him to bring his only son, Isaac, whom he loved, to the altar and rejoice to see the day of Christ. Well, that right there in itself was almost like Christ, because God gave up his only begotten son, and Abraham, he almost gave his up, but God said, don't harm Isaac, because he was finna sacrifice Isaac just like God sacrificed Jesus right there. Okay. The ark's design was revealed to Moses on Mount Sinai, and the Ark of the Covenant was a small wooden box or chest, approximately 3 by 9 feet by 2 by 3 feet. So it wasn't no bigger than my nightstand. I don't know about nobody else's nightstand, but that's about how big my nightstand is. That contained the covenant made by the Lord to the people of Israel. God revealed to Moses on Mount Sinai the exact specification for constructing the ark. It was crafted in acacia wood and overlaid with gold. And inside was placed the unbroken stone tablet of the law, a golden pot of manna, and Aaron's rod that miraculously budded or bloomed. The lid was called the mercy seat, and it was made from one piece of solid gold beaten into a shape that revealed two angelic creatures, the cherubim, let me see, each side with wings outstretched. God appeared between the cherubim where the blood was sprinkled by the high priest on the Day of Atonement. The Lord also appeared and spoke between the cherubim. There were poles inserted in the rings in each of the four corners of the ark for carrying. And when the Israelites joined through the wilderness, the ark was carried first by the priest to lead the way. The mysterious Shekinah glory cloud of the Lord would lead them by day, and it became a pillar of fire by night. And when the people encamped in the wilderness, the tabernacle was set up, and the Ark of the Covenant was placed in the Holy of Holies behind the veil. When they departed, the tabernacle was packed up in an orderly manner. Okay, So we know that God appeared between the cherubims where the blood was sprinkled by the high priest on the Day of Atonement. And the Lord also appeared and spoke between the cherubim. There was poles inserted in the rings on each side of the four corners of the ark for carrying, because if you got too close, you would fall dead. And when the Israelites joined through the wilderness, the ark was carried first by the priest to lead the way. So, and they was going, it was a glory cloud of the Lord that would lead them by day and a pillar of fire by night. The tabernacles were set up and the ark of the covenant was placed in the holies of holies behind the veil. Sometimes you hear people praying and they would say, Lord, let me go behind the veil, because it was like that's where you would talk to God at. Okay, Numbers chapter 10, verses 33-36. And they departed from the mount of the Lord, 3 days' journey. And the ark of the covenant of the Lord went before them in the 3 days' journey to search out a resting place for them. And the cloud of the Lord was upon them by day when they went out of the camp. And it came to pass when the ark set forward that Moses says, rise up, Lord, and let thy enemies be scattered, and let them that hate thee flee before thee. And when it rested, he said, return, O Lord, unto many thousands of Israel. So we haven't got to Numbers yet, but when they departed from the mount of the Lord, it took them 3 days' journey. And the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord went before them in the 3 days of the journey to search out a resting place. They were trying to put the Ark. They didn't know where to put it because I'm not going to say it was dangerous, but couldn't know anybody mess with the Ark of the Covenant. That's why I always say you can't go before God any kind of way. Because when they went before that Ark of the Covenant, if their lives wasn't right, they would drop dead right then. They would drop dead. You can't go before God any kind of way. And so that's why the priest would go in the tabernacle before the Ark of the Covenant, because that's where God would be. But the priest would go in there to offer up sacrifices for the people's sin. So the priest had to be in the right place with God in their lives. They couldn't be no any kind of way. Okay, here's something else. It says, after Moses died, I'm on page 4. It says, after Moses died, the children of Israel were led by Joshua into the land of Canaan. And when they came to the Jordan River, the waters parted before the Ark of the Covenant. So just like Moses parted that water for the children of Israel, God parted, well, it was God, but God parted the waters for the Ark of the Covenant. The children of Israel crossed the Jordan and conquered the promised land with the Ark of the Covenant leading the way. Later, the tabernacle was erected at a city called Gilgal, and the Ark of the Covenant was kept there for a season. Later, the Ark was removed and taken to Shiloh, where it remained for nearly 400 years. Israel had become so corrupt that they forsook the Lord and worshiped the Queen of Heaven. The Ark of the Covenant fell into the hands of the Philistines, who were forced to return it after many plagues broke out in their land. Later, because the Philistines took it, because the Israelites, they weren't even paying no attention to it, and they was worshiping somebody else instead of worshiping God, going in there talking to God. So the Philistines saw what it was doing for the children of Israel, so they wanted it, and they took it. But when they got it into their camp, God started letting things happen. They started having plagues everywhere. Sickness, boils broke out. Plagues broke out all over everywhere. So they brought the thing back because it wasn't causing none but death and stuff in their camp. Later, this Ark of the Covenant fell into the hands of the Philistines, who were forced to return it after many plagues broke out in their land. Later, the Ark of the Covenant was kept at a place called Kirjathjearim, until David was anointed king of Israel and brought the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem and placed the Ark of the Covenant in the Holies of Holies. And Israel was divided. I guess the civil war in Israel was divided. 10 tribes went to the north, and the remaining 2 stayed in the south. The Ark of the Covenant remained in the temple in Jerusalem. The northern kingdom continually forsook the Lord until God gave them unto the hands of the Assyrians, and they were deported away in 722 B.C. Later, the remaining 2 tribes forsook the Lord also in Jerusalem, and the temple was destroyed by the Babylonians in 586 B.C. The Bible does not mention what happened to the Ark of the Covenant. So when David was anointed king of Israel, he brought the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem until the temple was erected. But David's son, Solomon, completed the temple in Jerusalem and placed the Ark of the Covenant in the Holies of Holies. Later, there was a civil war, and Israel was divided. And see, King Solomon, he had about 1,000 wives. He had so many concubines and wives, and these concubines and wives was of different race. Most of them didn't believe in Jesus, didn't believe in the Lord God, did not believe in Jehovah. So by him going to bed with all these different women, they were saying, you need to worship our God. And he and the King Solomon, David's son, started worshiping their God too. And it was drawing him off of focus. So he wasn't even focusing on what he was supposed to focus on. And that was just 10 tribes. And then later the remaining 2 tribes forsook the Lord also, and Jerusalem and the temple was destroyed by the Babylonians. The Bible does not mention what happened to the Ark of the Covenant. I know somebody else probably got that Ark of the Covenant. And, okay, Hebrew name and the meaning of the Ark of the Covenant. We're going to cover that. But that's why God said you're supposed to only have one wife. Because when you have all those wives, he couldn't help but to try to please them and do what he was doing. But you're not supposed to be unequally yoked. He had 1,000 wives, and he was trying to fulfill his needs, their needs, and he was trying to make them happy by worshiping, going to their temple, worshiping their gods and stuff like that. He was messing up. So the Hebrew name and meaning of the Ark of the Covenant, the Hebrew noun Aharon, Ark is used nearly 200 times in the Old Testament to depict the Ark of the Covenant. The word Aron, I say Aron, means chest or container, and was used in various contexts. For example, it was used for a money box and also for a coffin, both signifying it's used as a container or something. The Bible goes further and called it an ark of God numerous times, and also the ark of his might, signifying power and glory. Over 30 times, the ark is called the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh in Numbers chapter 10, verse 33. The covenant representing God's redemptive covenant with Israel and his promise to save his people if they would not forsake him. Yet, ultimately, the Bible seizes upon the ancient imagery of the blood covenant that were cut not only for the Jews, but for all mankind, signifying death of the one who makes the covenant. So the Ark of the Covenant had a lot of power, because that's where God lived. I mean, I'm not going to say that's where he lives, but that's where he dwelled to communicate with mankind. So that's why they made the poles. They put the poles through those holes up there to stand so far back from the ark. Because if you got too close, I'm telling you, you would die. And I'm going to see if they're going to tell the story about how the man that was carrying the ark started going rocking from side to side. And he tried to touch it to make it stable. He dropped right dead, right then. It was so much power because God was there. Page 6, it said Hebrews for Christians. He used chapter 9, verses 16 through 18. Now, do we have any questions before we go any further? Because I want you all to understand what we're reading about and studying about, okay? For where a covenant is, there must also of the necessity be death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. See, let me turn to this so I can read this to you all. It was Hebrews chapter 9, verses 16 through 18. And I want you all to really understand. I wanted us to get a really good understanding of this. And then I want you all to keep studying this after, because you need to know this. It's very important, very important. Chapter 9. Okay. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity to be the death of the tester. It's a covenant. It could be proof him that made it, for a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the tester liveth, the maker of it. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood, it wasn't confirmed. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people, according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled it both the book and all the people. So it has to have blood on this thing. You can't do it without blood. It has to be blood. It's like a sacrifice. It's a cleansing thing. Just like when they had put the blood on the doorpost. It kept death away. That's what it did. It kept, but when you apply the blood, death's going to pass over. Amen. The biblical description of the Ark of the Covenant. The description of the Ark of the Covenant was revealed to Moses while he was on Mount Sinai, Exodus 25:10-22, the box was to be made of acacia wood. It was to be 2.5, which is 3.9 feet long, and 1.5 cubits, which is 2.3 feet long, while wide and tall. It was overlaid completely with gold, and it had a gold crown around the top of the box. That was gold rings, with the poles of wood overlaid with gold for transporting the ark. So God had specifically let Moses and Joshua know how he wanted the tabernacle made, and Solomon built it, and the ark made. He told them specifically what he wanted done. Okay. The background of the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was a picture of Christ. The Hebrew name and meaning of the Ark. Did I read that? Yep. Okay, well, okay, 7. The lid, which was referred to as the mercy seat, was crafted from one block of solid gold that was beaten into its shape. It was made of the same dimension as the ark, 2.5 cubits by 1.5 cubits. On top were two angelic beings, the cherubims, which were standing on 2 feet and facing each other and looking down at the top of the lids where the blood was sprinkled. The cherubims were also gold and were hammered from the same block of gold. They were four-faced creatures as described in Ezekiel's vision. And I want to read that to you. It's right here. It was on one, it was the face of a lion. On the other, it was the face of an eagle. On the other, it was the face of an ox. And on the other one, it was the face of a man. The cherubim were also the same fierce creatures who were chosen to guard the entrance to the Garden of Eden and the tree of life after Adam and Eve had sinned. They wield a flaming sword that turned in four directions. So the cherubims were standing on 2 feet, and I know y'all see that picture, but you're going to see the picture of the cherubim. That's why I tell you, God has different angels. Cherubims are angels. They're angels, cherubim too, but turn over to the next page and you will see the painting of the four faces of the cherubim. That's how they look. The lion, the man, the ox, the eagle. That's them. Okay, the Ark of the Covenant was handcrafted by two skilled and anointed craftsmen named Bezaleel and Oliba, and other skilled workers. The ark was placed within the holies of holies of the tabernacle and later the temple. There was a veil which separated God and man, and only the high priest could ever, once a year, on Yom Kippur, the great day of the atonement, to sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat. A lot of times when those priests went in to sprinkle that blood on the mercy seat, some of them died just as soon as they stepped in there because they wasn't right. They wasn't right before God. You can't go before God any kind of way. You just can't do it. I don't care what you say. You've been sinning and doing this, doing that, and then you want to go where the presence of God is. No. That's why I repent, and people just say, she pray the same way every day, all the time. I'm going to keep on repenting because every day I. So I'm going to keep repenting every day all the day long, because you don't know when you're sinning and when you're thinking wrong, when you're saying wrong things, when you're holding stupid stuff in your heart, you're sinning against God. And then you want to go pray to God. The devil is a liar. You better repent every chance you get, because you can fall dead just like they did. You could drop dead. It don't make sense. And the priest would be going in there to sacrifice an offering for our sins. And they'll drop dead for their own sins, because you can't go in there any kind of way. The purpose of the Ark of the Covenant, the primary purpose of the Ark of the Covenant was to contain God's covenant, the two unbroken stone tablets of the law, the Ten Commandments. Moses also had a golden jar of manna placed in the ark as a reminder of God's faithfulness. God also commanded Moses to place Aaron's rod that budded into the ark as a sign against rebellion. The Ark of the Covenant was also a sign of God's continual presence with his people, because he would sit right there on the mercy seat. Just as God revealed himself at Mount Sinai and in the glory cloud that led them through the wilderness, so God would appear between the wings of those cherubims above the mercy seat. So you see the wings on it. That's where God would appear. And you couldn't get too close. Let me see. On the Day of Atonement, it says, this is in Exodus 25 and 22, it says, and there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat. For between the two cherubims, which are upon the ark of the testimony of all things, which I give thee in commandments unto the children of Israel, the Day of Atonement. On the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, each year the high priest would enter the holies of holies and sprinkle blood on the mercy seat. Did I read this? Of the Ark of the Covenant between the cherubims to make atonement for sin, Leviticus chapter 16. First, he would take a golden censer of license, and the smoke would fill the room. Then he would sprinkle blood on the mercy seat seven times, first with the blood of bulls for his own sins, and then with the blood of a goat for the sins of the people. The mercy seat on the Ark of the Covenant became a place where God's judgment upon sin was met with mercy through the shed blood of a substitute. God's law, the Ten Commandments, inside the ark demanded judgment against man's sin and utter failure to keep the law. Yet God's holiness and wrath against sin would be satisfied because of the shed blood of a substitute. The mercy seat completely covered man's sin from being seen by a holy God. Woo! I bet that mercy seat so powerful and mighty, honey. The mercy seat completely covered man's sin from being seen by a holy God. This ritual will happen every year until the final sacrifice will cover the sins of all mankind for all time. So that's why I wanted to teach you all on the feast days, because these are some of the Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. They do that every year, and we're supposed to be doing it as well. We're supposed to do that as well. Hebrews chapter 9, 11 through 12 says, but Christ, having come as a high priest of the good things to come, through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of his creation, nor yet through the blood of his painting of the tabernacle. Wait a minute. I read that wrong. Not nor yet through the blood of goats and bulls, but through his own blood entered in once for all into the holy place, having obtained its eternal redemption. So that's the scripture to up here where the Day of Atonement is just kind of explaining how the high priest of the good things to come through the greater, more perfect tabernacle, because you know when Jesus comes, when he comes, it's going to be some great and wonderful things happen when he comes. So the next page is page 10, and it's the history of the, okay, what is that, the painting of the tabernacle. That's the tabernacle of Moses right there. So God revealed to Moses on Mount Sinai his plans to build the Ark of the Covenant. The tent of meetings, which is the tabernacle, was erected on the first month in the second year, on the first day of the month, Exodus 40, verse 17. The ark was placed in the holies of holies, and Moses put certain Levites, the Kohathites, in charge of the ark. And that's in Numbers chapter 3, verse 31. But they were not allowed to touch it. They would move the ark using the long poles after it was covered by Aaron and his sons with the veil in a badger skin in a blue cloth. The ark led the people of Israel through the wilderness and was ahead by a 3 days journey. A 3 days journey until they came to a place where they would set up camp. The ark was with them through all their wilderness journey. But see, they had,
where did they go?
Can you all hear me? Oh, I see it. Okay.
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. See, they the ark was placed in the holies of holies. But see, if they had, see, Aaron and his sons were priests, so they could cover the ark. They could almost touch it, but they ain't supposed to touch it. But they could cover it so people wouldn't see it, I guess, or get close to it. Because if you did, you died. If you did, you died. It's going to tell us about the man who was carrying the ark. And he almost, and the ark was unstable. And so he reached his hand out to try so it wouldn't fall, and he dropped dead. Numbers chapter 4 and 5. Let me see. When the camp moved forward, Aaron shall go in and his sons, and they shall take down the veil of the screen and cover the ark of the testimony with it, and shall put a covering of badger skin on it, and shall spread over it a cloth all of blue, and shall put it in, put in its poles. Because if they didn't, and the people that was carrying it and the people that was seeing it, somebody was going to die. I'm just telling you, that's how mighty and powerful, because God was sitting on the mercy seat. God was, he's right there on that mercy seat, over the mercy seat between the cherubims. And you see how close them cherubims are. He was right there where they sprinkle the blood on the top of that mercy seat. Okay. The Ark of the Covenant and the early history of Israel. Once the children of Israel entered the land of Canaan, the Jordan River parted before the Ark of the Covenant. They set up memorial stones at Gilgal, near where Abraham had erected his first altar. The tabernacle was set up at Gilgal, and Joshua set up his headquarters there. The conquest of Canaan lasted 7 years, and the ark was with the Israelites. In the conquering of Jericho, the Israelites marched around the city wall with the ark leading them, and after 7 times, that wall fell. See, I used to hear and I've read about it, but I didn't know they had the ark leading it, the covenant. Sure enough, it was going to fall. It fell because God was sitting right there on the mercy seat. That's how it fell. It didn't fall just because they was walking around. It fell because God was sitting right there on the ark. They didn't even have to go around it 7 times. He's sitting right there. He could have just raised his little finger and it would have fell. While they were conquering the land, the tabernacle was moved to a more central location at Shiloh, and Joshua and the Israelites divided the land of Canaan among the tribes and settled in the land. The tabernacle and the Ark of the Covenant remained at Shiloh for over 300 years. It was while the Ark was at Shiloh that Samuel was dedicated to the Lord by his mother Hannah, and he was raised by a priest named Eli, a descendant of Aaron. Throughout the period of the Judges, the ark was at Shiloh. That's the book of Judges in the Old Testament. The ark was at Shiloh. The tabernacle was referred to as the house of God, Judges chapter 18 and 31. And even the temple of God, where the ark was, 1 Samuel chapter 3 and 3, the ark was mentioned at Bethel during the war against the Gibeah, Judges 20:26-27. So the ark was kind of moving a little bit, and I guess it was where the Israelites was going. It was where the Israelites was moving around to. On the next page, it's a map. The Ark of the Covenant in the Kingdom of Israel. Later in the 11th century B.C., the Philistines defeated Israel because Aphek and Ebenezer, captured the Ark of the Covenant and brought the Ark from Ebenezer to Ashdod, the chief city of the land of the Philistines. Many plagues broke out in their land, and when they placed the ark in the temple of Dagon, their god, the idol, fell down prostrate before the ark and broke into pieces. 1 Samuel chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. So the Philistines then got God, the Father, the Creator, and took him into a doggone temple, a Philistine temple, where idol gods were, and set this thing up by the ark. And that Dagon, their god, fell down before the ark, before God, and broke into pieces. They placed the ark on a milk crate and thought if the cow's head in the direction of Israel instead of her nursing calf, it must be the Lord. The ark returned to the land of Israel, to Beth Shemesh, on the northwest border of Judah, and the people from Beth Shemesh looked at the ark, and 70 of them were smitten by the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 6, verse 19. And later the ark was moved to Kirjathjearim. It's another word. I know the name of it. I can't pronounce it. To the house of a Levite named Abinadab, who lived on a hill. He consecrated his son, Eleazar, to keep watch of the ark, and it remained there for about 20 years. Kereth Jearim was one of the four Gibeonite cities that made peace with Israel by deceit. That's in Joshua chapter 9, verse 6. And after Israel cried out for a king, and the prophet Samuel anointed the young, good-looking Saul, yet this was not God's chosen king. Saul became king because he neglected the ark, because he neglected the ark of the covenant, except for the time that he called for the ark during the battle of Michmash in 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 18. And later, after David conquered Jerusalem, he intended to bring the ark to his new capital on Mount Zion. A Levite named Uzziah was smitten by God for touching the ark to keep it from falling off the court on the road, for the ox had stumbled. David became concerned and delayed in bringing the ark to Mount Zion, and the ark remained at the house of the Levite named Obed-Edom for 3 months. Once David saw Obed-Edom being blessed by the Lord, he brought the ark to Jerusalem with great singing and rejoicing. He placed the ark of the covenant in a tent near the well of Gihon. But Levite that I was talking about, that he said the ox stumbled, and he tried, and it made the ark sway, and he reached his hand out to make it steady, and he died. God killed him. And up here, it said God smitten 50,000, 70 of them were smitten by the Lord. So you couldn't touch that ark. Then, do we have any questions or comments before I go any further? We just got about 10 minutes left, or 7 minutes. And this is some good information. I'm telling y'all, y'all need to continually read it. Just keep reading and studying this, because when you hear somebody talk about the Ark of the Covenant, if they talking about the Lord, that's where God was, between the cherubims on the mercy seat. That's why people couldn't touch it. The priest could barely touch it. They could barely get near. But they had to keep it covered. They had to cover it so the people, because when the people saw it, they died. And it was made out of pure gold, and it was heavy. Okay. The tabernacle and the brazen altar of sacrifice were still functioning at Gibeon, while the ark was at a tent in Jerusalem. The ark remained there, except when the Levites brought the ark to accompany David's armies in the battle. And when Solomon had been anointed king of Israel, the ark was still in the tent of Jerusalem. After Solomon built the first temple on Mount Moriah, and the ark was placed in the holies of holies, the ark of the covenant remained in Solomon's temple throughout the history of the kings of Israel and Judah for the next 300 years. There was one incident where the evil king Manasseh removed the ark, which testified against him, and placed an idol there instead in 2 Chronicles 33 and 7. Later, Josiah restored the ark of the covenant to the holies of holies. The Bible records that Jerusalem and the temple of Solomon was destroyed in 586 B.C. before Christ. There was no record in the Bible of what happened to the Ark of the Covenant. And today, you know, they saying they found the Ark, but we're going to go, you know, read a little further. But Solomon got the Ark back, and it stayed in Jerusalem and Judah for the next 300 years. Okay. There was the Ark of the Covenant and the destruction of Jerusalem by the Babylonians. Nebuchadnezzar, Babylonian, destroyed Jerusalem and the temple. There is no mention of the Ark of the Covenant. It was not mentioned among the spoils of the Nebuchadnezzar in 2 Kings 25, 13 through 17. And down here, 2 Chronicles 36, verse 18 and 19 says, all the vessels of God's house, great and small, and treasures of the Lord's house, and the treasures of the king and of his prince, all these he brought to Babylon. They burned God's house and broke down the walls of Jerusalem and burned all his palaces with fire and destroyed all of his valuable vessels. There was also no mention of the Ark of the Covenant with the objects returned by King Cyrus of Persia. There is also no mention in the prophetic writings of Jeremiah and Ezekiel of the Ark whereabouts. There is no mention of the Ark of the Covenant when Alexander the Great made a sacrifice when he came to Jerusalem. There is also no reference to the Ark of the Covenant among the spoils of Antioch when he plundered the second temple in 167 B.C., the second book of Esther states, the Ark of the Covenant is spoiled. In that second Esther, chapter 10, verse 22, the Ark of the Covenant and the second temple. I mean, it's really good, and I'm not going to go any further with it. We can, if you want to, because we just on the 15th, it's 37 pages to this. We can continue on this on Tuesday. But you see how important it is to know that's where God was. You know, because Moses kept going up to Mount Sinai talking to God. But God wanted to dwell among the people. So he built that ark so he can dwell right there on the mercy seat. But the people had to be careful not to touch him. That's why he used to tell Moses, tell them, you can come up here, but tell them don't get close to this mountain or they're going to die. So that's how much power God got. That's how much power that he got. He got so much power when they walked around that wall. It just went from them walking. It was because God was sitting on that mercy seat and they had the Ark of the Covenant leading them. It's a powerful Ark of the Covenant. So, you know, even in these days, in this season, they saying they think they found the Ark of the Covenant, but that's all they said was they think they found it. They ain't showed nothing to nobody. So on Tuesday, we're going to try to finish this up as much as possible. And then on that Thursday, we're going to talk about who changed the Sabbath. I got scriptures and everything. Who changed the Sabbath to Sunday? Mm-hmm. So we're going to get involved in that. So we'll know whether, you know, as long as you know the truth, as long as you know the truth, people can say what they want to say, and you ain't got to say nothing because you know the truth. When you know the truth, it'll set you free. The truth will set you free. I don't care what nobody say. I know the truth, and the scripture to back it up. So we need to go, once we get through that, then we're going to go on back to Exodus after that. We're going to go back because we needed to know this. We even need to know the feast days, but we're going to pick another week for them. Amen. So I just thank and praise God for all y'all that's on this line that wanted to know about the Ark of the Covenant. And we're going to finish this. And it's a good thing that we know about. And we know how powerful and how God used the Ark of the Covenant. Even we got some clarity on how Moses almost sacrificed Isaac, just like God sacrificed Jesus. But God, the Father, told Moses not to do it. Not Moses, Abraham, y'all. Sorry. Abraham. He told Abraham not to do it, not to touch Isaac. But he was getting ready to sacrifice Isaac's life because the Father told him to do it. So that was just blessing right there. It give us clarity on that. Amen. So we're going to get ready to close our Father. We just thank you on tonight for your word. We thank you for opening our minds and our hearts to receive your word on tonight. We thank you that the Holy Spirit, that he's teaching us and allowing us to receive his word just like he give it to us. In the name of Jesus, Father, I ask you to bless everyone under the sound of my voice. Bless their families, God. I ask you right now to cover each one of them in the blood of Jesus and encamp your angels all around about them to protect them on tonight and every day, God, in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, we just give you praise. We give you glory. We ask all these things in Jesus' name for your glory. Amen. We'll be right back here tomorrow for Praise, Prayer, and Prophecy Hour. I ask you to keep everybody that's sick in prayer. I haven't heard from Brother Harold in about 2 days. Now I'm going to have to try to contact him because they say you can't take your phone in there, but he had snuck his phone in there some kind of way, and he was texting me. They may have found it or whatever, but keep him in your prayers and everything, and maybe he'll let us know how he's doing, because he did have a respirator on his face, whatever they call it, on his face. His breathing thing on his face. So you all keep him in your prayers, and we're going to be right back here tomorrow by the grace of God. You all have a blessed and good night. God bless you all. I love you.
Love you. Good night.
Love you too, honey. Good night.
Love you. Good night.
Love you. Good night.
Love you too. Good night. Good night. Good night. Love you too.
Love you. Good night.